Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
East Haven has become known by those in our area as the church at the cross because of the Haven Cross. It was constructed almost a year ago. And we're grateful for that. I run into people all the time that they're trying to figure out, now, where is East Haven? And I'll try to describe it. I'm directly challenged, but I'll try to say, well, it's on 84. And they may say, and you probably had this something, that's that church by the cross. It's like, yeah. And that's not a bad thing, to be known as the church by the cross. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. People don't understand, if they don't understand Jesus and what he did for us, and it's not supposed to make sense because they haven't come to faith in Christ personally. So we always need to remember that. They don't necessarily think like we do because they don't know him like we do. And yet we hope they do, because if they don't know him, then it's foolish. They don't understand church. They don't understand why we have Bible studies. They don't understand missions. They don't understand why we believe and hold dear certain principles that we're taught and values in God's word. And so when we come to faith in Jesus, it changes everything. He gives us hope. He helps us know how to relate to our spouse, our children. He helps us know how to reach out to those that don't know the Lord. It just helps us know how to live life, because we are created with a God-shaped void, and until we fill it with him, then we go to different things to try to fill it. It can be a person. It can be a substance. It can be a club. It can be all kinds of things, and only Jesus can fill that void. I think more than anything, we want to be a Jesus church. We want to be a Jesus people. We want to be like him. I know that Baptist is important, but more than anything, it's about Jesus. We're grateful for our doctrines, for what we believe, our values, but more than anything, it's about the cross of Jesus Christ. And so what I want to do today, and you may have a listening sheet that's provided, you may be a note taker, you may want to write some notes down. This is a type of state of the church address that I want to give you as your pastor of 2 years. 2 years ago today was actually the second Sunday that I came in view of a call that you invited me graciously to come. And so I'm beginning my third year. So I just want to talk to you. This isn't necessarily a message, and yet it is. And so I want to share some things with you. We have some people that have been here for years. We have some new folks that have come in the last 2 years. And we actually have some people that are thinking about joining our church family. And this might be especially for them. I know that we have a new members class, usually the first Sunday of every month in the Fireside Room at 9, that Sonia teaches and facilitates, and others walk in there at times and share some things about the church. But so I just felt like before we jump into a new series that I'll tell you about in a minute in February, I wanted to talk through some things and just talk to you a little bit and take a little look at some things. The first thing on your outline is this: look at what God has done. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now here's what God does. He uses you, East Haven, as a vessel, as a tool to accomplish his work. It's an amazing thing that God would graciously and can use any of us to build his kingdom and his church. But he does. I remember one layman telling me before I came, he said, listen, we got a lot of folks in East Haven that are ready to go. They'll work. If you tell us what we need to do, what God wants, and we feel like it's biblical and right, they will help get things done. Well, you're possibly going to be amazed at what God has done through you in a couple of years as I walk through some different things here. The Bible says that all good things come from God. We haven't arrived by any shape, form, or fashion, but he has worked through you, church family, and he's accomplished much. Let me just go through a list of things. I'm sitting on your outline, but if you can write real fast, you might write them down or just listen closely. We now have gotten back to a monthly email to communicate better what's going on in our church family. How's our giving doing? How many do we have coming to Sunday school and worship? And that's a way to communicate because communication is really important. So we started that. We had some website updates. We have some new Sunday school classes. I see one of the new teachers out here just a minute ago, and that's the way to grow your church. Our student ministry is growing after a period of decline for a time. And one of the things that I appreciate about Daniel, there's several things, but the two things I want to point out. One is it's especially grown on Wednesday nights, and Daniel gets it as far as volunteers and equipping people to do the work of the ministry. If Daniel were to step away for whatever reason, I believe it'd be a long time before we'd go backwards. Why? Because he's not building the ministry around himself. And for that, I'm very, very grateful for a young man like that to get that he's to equip the saints for ministry and to recruit others to help accomplish ministry. That's very, very valuable. And I'm grateful for the team that he's developed with our youth as well as our college students. It's exciting. Prayer emphasis more via the worship. In worship, we have prayer. We pray at the cross, and then there's a prayer cross in the fellowship hall. Some of you may not know what that is. When you come out and you leave, there's a cross out there. It's a wooden cross. It has little slots, and there's paper for you to write down prayer requests, for you to put in those slots. Always feel free to do that, whether you're a member or a guest, so we can pray specifically. We have a prayer team that does that, and they also try to get that information out to staff and other people. Then we have an executive ministry team, leaders, that meets on a regular basis now. Most of the time, not every month, but most months of the year, the first Wednesday after our 6 o'clock Bible study hour in the conference room. We have a deacon handbook that's been updated and deacon training Sunday recently last year when Dr. Hurt came. We have the Haven Cross, which we believe impacts a lot of people. I remember when we started putting together the Haven Cross about a year or so ago now, there were some that didn't understand it. There were some on Facebook and on social media because there was an article in the Clarion Ledger that let it be known. Oh, I can't believe that's going on. Well, we have to remember something. Remember what the verse is. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. So those that don't understand Jesus, they may not get it. Those that have a misguided understanding of missions, they may not get it. Listen, there's folks that need to know and be reminded of what Jesus has done for them. And what better way when they're driving down the interstate and on these highways to be reminded of the cross? Maybe they hadn't thought about Christ in a long time, and they understand that he died for them, he rose for them, and it's a symbol of what Christ has done for us. And so I'm very, very thankful for those that don't get it. Don't worry about it. I just say bless their heart. That's what I do sometimes. Somebody will say something, and I'll think, well, I don't agree with you, or I think you're misguided, or we just have a different opinion, and we're all going to do that as people, even as Baptists. That's what I've learned to try to do. Well, just bless your heart. And I'm sure they do that to me, too. That's okay. We just bless each other's heart. But I'm thankful, very thankful for that ministry. And I want to say this because basically we're at the end of, I guess, the big phase one for the cross, because now we have the prayer garden. There's music 24/7 out there. I know because of the weather, some of you may not have been lately and realize that. There's the signage. There's other things that are coming together. But I want you to know that Taz, and I'm calling him out, and I think he's right over. Is he still in here? He was. He's with security. He was right there. He slipped out. So anyway, y'all have to tell him I talked about him. But Taz Milstead and others have worked tirelessly on that cross for at least a year trying to get all these different pieces to come together. And we're very, very grateful for that. So when you see him, make sure that you thank him. And that leads me to the next thing that's happened in the last couple of years. The renovation. Huge phase one. The chairs. The platform. The parking lot. I mean, if you've been here, the paint, some of the furniture, you understand there has been a renovation team that's been working to put all this together. And you've been a part of that too because you've been giving. So I'm very grateful for the sacrifices that you have made to get some renovations done that we've been needing for a long time. The numbers have increased, especially in worship attendance. You supported me this past year in my book in order to reach people that are hurting locally and beyond, and I'm very, very thankful. You would be surprised at the doors that it's opened for me to talk to people that are grieving over the loss of a pet. This coming Tuesday, I've been asked to go to the Rotary at Flowood, Mississippi, and talk about this book. And I'm sure some of them are thinking, he's did what? We're having who? How does that work? And yet, listen, I get to share the gospel with people, and they may not have seen it coming, because I'm talking about the fact that we all hurt, and God is the God of all comfort, and some people have a special connection with pets, and especially it's written for dog lovers, and I'm going to get to tell them about how that came about, but I'm also going to give them the message of Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's ultimately why I wrote the book, and you've tolerated it, you've prayed for me, you've supported me, and for that, I'm very grateful. The other thing that's happened, social media posts that have broadened our reach. We have an administrator hired to assist with executing the vision. That would be Kenny. Community outreach expanded locally, like Catfish on the Corner and other things that we give away every 2 or 3 months. We have a new highway sign. I like our highway sign. I noticed it when I came here 2 years ago, and it was good. But I'm telling you, this one's great. This one has all the bells and whistles, and we're able to do things with excellence and communicate things. We have new indoor signage. But I also know our food service ministry has been upgraded. Thanks to Leah and her team, we're very grateful for that. And if I've left off some things, I apologize. I just wanted to go through some things that have come to mind immediately based on 2 years of being here. And this does not include things that were already blessing others through various ministries. So the first point is saying, give God the glory, great things he has done. In some ways, perspective is everything in a short period of time. And that is because of God working through you. And I just want to thank you, thank you, thank you. The second thing on your outline is let's look at what God desires for us to do continually, for us to continually do as a church family. These are our values. These are things that come from the Bible. These are things that fit our church in the way we're shaped. These are things that help us with our community in Lincoln County, especially, and beyond in Mississippi. So here's some things that I think about. I think about prayer. And I'm going to use this quote twice. Here's the first one. Read this in a book this past week. Prayer is the difference between the best we can do and the best God can do. Prayer is the difference between the best we can do and the best that God can do. That's why we keep coming back to it. That's why we continue to learn about it. That's why we continue to expand, by God's grace, our prayer ministry. That's why when you walk out, we encourage you to grab one of those prayer guides. One of the reasons Night to Shine is anointed is because of the one that started it and the fact that people pray and people work together and they glorify Jesus Christ and they're reaching out to those that others may not recognize. And God's all over it, and we're grateful for it. Prayer is so important. Second thing, constantly encouraging intimacy with God via our devotional life. You will hear your teachers. You will hear me. You will hear others say, make sure you're spending time with God during the week on a regular basis. Over and over and over again. Because if you're just stepping here on Sunday morning, and stepping out and coming back, you're missing everything that God wants to show you, teach you, and he wants to use you to impact his kingdom. So I'm trusting that you're recognizing. He sure does say that a lot. I hope so. Because we all need to be reminded that if we stop pattering our devotional life, we'll start back. We'll use another book. We'll change the space. We'll change the time. We need to make sure we're growing in our personal walk with Jesus Christ. That's a value of ours. Another one, the third one I wrote down, provide ministries for families to grow spiritually. And we want to expand on this one. We've talked about different things with staff and lay people about other things we can do for couples and for children and others. We want to continue to do that to reach young families. The other thing is love those that may seem invisible to others, but not to God. I want to repeat that. Love those that may seem invisible to others, but not to God. You know, it's great to have friends, to have classmates, to have colleagues, to have team members. God created us for relationships. And there are people that are lonely for various reasons. There are people that we can go through life and don't even recognize they're there at the restaurant, the coffee shop, wherever it might be, for different reasons. And so we want to constantly remind all of us, don't miss the invisible people. The people that need love. People that feel like they can walk in here and worship the Lord without being judged. And that can be a temptation for all of us based on our upbringing, our perspective, or things that we've learned over the years or caught from our family. We need to understand that Jesus loves everybody. And that's why I'm excited about some different things that you have jumped in and been a part of and that we hope to continue to do and expand on that. The other thing, provide ongoing Bible studies and those developed organically as discipleship groups. What do I mean by that? On Sundays, 9 o'clock, we have Sunday school, we have Bible studies. We have other times we study the Bible, whether it's men's Bible studies or ladies' Bible studies. And sometimes organically out of that, there might be a group that says, hey, Miss Sonia, hey, Minister so-and-so, hey, we want to start a Bible study. What are your thoughts? Tell me what you're thinking. What kind of curriculum are you looking at? Let me know how I can help you. And so you might meet it this day, this time. It might be a start time and an end time. That's what I mean when I say sometimes some of the best discipleship groups are not programmed. They happen organically, just naturally. But we also want to continue to grow our Sunday school because that is so very important. The next thing, continually focusing on missions in Lincoln County, the great state of Mississippi, and beyond. I just got to tell you, I'm still thrilled that God allowed me 2 years ago to come home to Mississippi. There really is no place like home. I'm grateful for the times that I got sand in my shoes by being in Florida a lot of my adult life. But I'm telling you, for this season in life, for God to allow us to come here and be here in Brookhaven is incredible. Brookhaven is a very, very special place. I've been here long enough. Sometimes people say, well, man, how you like Brookhaven? Because I grew up in Kosciuszko, graduated from Clinton, went to MC, and I've served in Clinton several times after that when I was had real blonde hair. And they'll come up, man, how you like Brookhaven? I said, man, it's great. It's great. And I'll go through different things, and I'll think, man, I know we lived in a big city, and we've lived in several. Dallas, Las Vegas, outside of Orlando. But I'm telling you, Brookhaven has got it going on. Now, I know I might be prejudiced because I'm from here, but I absolutely love the community and the area. There's a lot of great things in our community. The next thing is teach and equip our members to give generously. I'm grateful for you that give your tithes and offerings, and I pray we continue to expand that and understand how important that is because it supports our ministries. Grow Sunday school in various ways, including starting new units. Now, let me take a moment to remind you of how we function here, which if you go to the new member class, you'll go into greater detail in that. which may be, because this could be different than the past, the church you grew up in, or how you think it ought to be done. Here you go, and if you don't understand, come to me or Kenny as the administrator and the former chairman of the pastor search committee that called me. I want to walk through basically, this is kind of how we function. Listen, every Southern Baptist church is different. It's called the autonomy of the local church, based on where the church is located, based on the pastor, based on the bylaws, based on the community. There's a lot that goes into the, and that's one of our tenets as Southern Baptist, the autonomy of the local church. Boy, we love to talk about the autonomy of the local church. And I love it because that means we cooperate in missions. But every church is individual and different. So I want to remind you of some things. There were a couple of things that the pastor search committee, I guess they did a survey with you, the members of the at the church at that time. And they were saying now, because we talked a lot about these two things. They said, here's what we want to make sure. We want to make sure that you're a leader. We need a leader, okay? In a pastor's job description, you got preaching and teaching and studying and speaking and all that. You got pastoring and loving people and funerals and visiting, and you can't do it all, but that you need to kind of like people if you're a pastor. And then there's the leading part. And so they kept stressing, they want a leader. And so it's like, okay, well, we talked a lot about that. Now, here's the thing. Some people want a leader until you lead in a direction they don't like. But that's just the way it goes. Think about it. In your business, on your team, it can happen the same way in a church. Not everybody's going to agree with the head coach, the pastor, or the leader of an organization. That just goes with it. But the other thing that they stressed was they wanted somebody that was kind of a people person. Now, here's what they may not have realized. They may not have realized they got somebody so crazy that they would go downtown during the Christmas holidays in Buddy the Elf suit and hop around. But y'all, my parents love people. My sisters love people. If we're a Jesus follower, it's like we should love people. So I got a long way to go with that, but I do like people and I do like connecting with the church and the community. But here's the way we're structured and organized. Pastor-led, committee ministry teams executed, deacons served, congregation approved, which means once a year our congregation comes and they have a chance to go talk about the budget, about the committee, people that have been nominated for committees, deacons. And so there's a way that we vote, we develop these ministry teams. And so it's not like we're a church that maybe you grew up in, and sometimes like me, what I grew up in, where you vote on everything. Well, let's vote on the color of the carpet. Well, let's vote on the color of the walls. No, no, no. We're beyond that. And you were beyond a lot of that before I ever came here. And so for that, I'm grateful. But those that are visiting may need to know that. Major decisions the congregation approves, and a lot of that is saying you team, you committee make these decisions when it involves these different things. But there's a new member class that goes into great detail. Now here's what it does not mean: that everyone agrees with my leadership style. I've already alluded to that, and that's just the way it is. I don't lead, I'm sure, the way other guys that have been here before me are the dude that'll follow me one day. We are all different. So just understand, it does not mean that everyone agrees with my leadership style. It does not mean that those in leadership positions will be with us or me the entire time of my tenure. The longer I'm here, the more some may decide it's not for them. And it's fine with me due to what the Bible says about unity. Not uniformity, but unity. Proverbs 6 talks about things that God hates. And Hebrews 13:17 talks about the unfortunate cause of disunity from time to time. And so we got to always keep that in mind. Sometimes there's people that leave, and then there's sometimes that people that come. Sometimes you have to have a subtraction before you have an addition. That goes with church life. The third thing I would say, it does not mean we will not do some things differently in the future, or that we will change some things that we do now that are effective. What I want you to know is this, especially for those that are considering joining our church, but I want to share some things here. One is, Kelly and I love this church and this community. Kelly, if you see that she's not here, which is today's one of those days, usually, and she's probably watching, I may get in trouble for this. There's usually two reasons. One is because she works for the Baptist Children's Village, and occasionally she speaks on a Sunday to talk about the village and why churches need to give and support. The other reason is Kelly has some health issues. She has fibromyalgia. She's a type 2 diabetic. And when you have weather like we've had, it especially can throw her for a loop. And some of you deal with fibromyalgia, and so you get it. That was one thing living in Florida, in South Florida, that was an advantage for her as far as her health, because you don't really have seasons. And so that's one of the things that's going on. Now, she don't want you to, you know, run to her and say, oh, Kelly. I'm just letting you know that, because this is kind of a talk and a little bit about what's going on. And that's been an adjustment for me, too, because I'm accustomed to Kelly being here more than sometimes she's been able to, especially since we've been here. The other reason I'm going to share some of these things right now like that is because, I have real blonde hair right now. And because of that, and because of some special card I'm supposed to get in October that has to do with medical issues, I'm going to share some things with you. Nobody asked me to do this. I'm just going to let you know some things. Here it is. I can see myself one day transitioning to my nonprofit ministry that I established years ago when I lived in Memphis, called Howe Kitchings Ministries, and focus on preaching and encouraging others and maybe coaching young pastors. I learned a long time ago in experiencing God that we're studying on Wednesdays that He can interrupt my life at any time and take me anywhere. And it needs to be able to do that for you. Sometimes we think, no, I got it all planned out, God. I got my retirement going on. I've been here. I know these people. I think I'm good. No. If we follow Jesus, He can interrupt our life at any point, any time, take us anywhere. And so we should always live with a yes on the table. So I don't see that that's happening soon. I am excited. Let me keep reading. In the meantime, I'm going to keep being myself, preaching biblical application messages, especially on Sunday mornings. We're about to go in February, in case you're wondering. We finished Ephesians. We've been in Christmas. We're kind of getting started in January. About to go into 1 and 2 Samuel. Saints and sinners and Samuel is where we're going. And so we're going to look at both of those chapters in the Old Testament and walk through that. Biblical application, pastor by loving the church and the community. That's the other thing you need to be reminded of. I sit behind my desk sometimes and when I need to, but I don't stay there all the time. I get out and about. I'm hyper anyway, even though I'm at the age I am. But I love going to the gym, going to the coffee shop, mixing it up with the people, messing with folks. That's just the way I'm wired, and I enjoy doing that by loving the church and the community and leading how God has shaped me to lead with an eye on the future for the good of East Haven. Here's what I would tell you. I believe part of the reason that God has called me here is to prepare the church by God's grace for the future. For your teenagers, for your children, for the next guy. I don't know how long that'll be, but I do believe that's part of the reason that He called me here, and I'm grateful for it, for the good of East Haven. But all the while, by God's grace, hopefully remaining teachable, especially, this is the way I am, especially through those I respect that love Jesus, love me unconditionally, and that have the church's best interest at heart. With all that being said, I am more excited today about our future than I was when I arrived. When I was down there singing a minute ago, I remember 2 years ago like it was like that. Remember, we didn't have these steps, and I was trying to get used to walking around there, and I wanted to jump off the, you know, the deal. Well, I was thinking, man, I can't wait to get up here today. I'm thankful for that. I couldn't wait to get up here to talk about what God has done through you, what our values are, and some other things that I'm about to share with you. When I stop having a vision for the church's future, I will know it's likely my time is coming to an end sooner than later. A vision is a mental picture of what could be, fueled by the conviction of what should be, and it's still there. I still believe, as I've said before, probably my first year, East Haven Baptist Church is a sleeping giant type of church. I believe there are greater things ahead than we could ever imagine. If we will continue to be a Jesus church, focus on the right things, and work together in accomplishing our mission. Number three on your outline is this. Look at some lessons about God's work for us to pay attention to. All right? So I'm watching the clock. I'm going to go through all these, and I'm going to tell you right now. This third point comes from the main 10 points, comes from Dr. Joe McKeever. Y'all know Dr. McKeever? He is probably right now teaching Sunday school at First Baptist Jackson, Mississippi. He was a Mississippi pastor for years. He's been to our church in the last 6 months. Phil, I think he spoke from here. He spoke back there. He's spoken to our senior adults. Dr. McKeever is a wonderful man. And it's amazing the things that he posts and the things that he does to try to help ministers or guys that are younger than him. And he's been around a while. So I'm very grateful that he's finishing strong and he continues to post things. So these are 10 points that fit this point that I want to share with you. He calls them lessons I keep learning. Number one, he's talking about the church in general for all of us. If you don't like change, you're going to have trouble following Jesus. If you don't like change, you're going to have trouble following Jesus. Now, let me say this. I've been in a number of different churches. I have not sensed or found in 2 years that you are ready to buck change. Some churches are. I haven't found that to be true. That doesn't mean that you follow blindly. Just like anybody, you want to know, okay, now why are we doing this? And when you seem to know, all right, this is why we're doing, even if you may not agree with everything, you're going to work with us. You're not one that's totally resistant to change. I know some guys that are in those places, bless their heart. Number two, what we do, he says, to the church, Jesus takes personally. Because it's his church. Number three, love is something we do, an action more than an emotion. Number four, to love Jesus means obeying him. If you don't obey, you don't love. We talked about that last week. Number five, Dr. Joe McKeever says, if we love Jesus, we will love one another. One follows the other like day follows night. Number six, joy is the flag flown from the castle of your heart to show the king is in residence. Love that. Every church needs a little, underline little conflict. It builds muscle and keeps everyone alert. Number eight, the best test of your faith is your prayer life. Number nine, the most urgent reason for unity in your church and in the Christian family is evangelism. To reach the lost world, John 17, 21 and 23, a divided church is winning no one to Jesus. I wrote out, wow. That's a reminder why it's so important. Because it's not all about us. It's about them that haven't experienced the hope that we have if we're a part of the true family of God. That's why we're not going to always agree. But man, we need to do our best to remember it's about, not about preferences, it's about convictions and changing things for the sake of reaching people. And then number 10, Jesus Christ is far more willing, Mark chapter 1, verse 41, to bless, then we are to be blessed. Jesus Christ is far more willing to bless, Mark chapter 1, verse 41 says that, to bless than we are to be blessed. And that's from, he refers to Matthew 23, 37, saying that they were unwilling. And here's what that verse says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the words of Jesus, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. So we always want to be willing and ready to be a blessing. And Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church throughout all generations. To him be the glory. But remember this, prayer is the difference between the best we can do and the best that God can do.